Take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter number 1. John chapter 1, verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." The scripture that we're going to focus on for just a moment in the introductory stages is verse 3, where it says, "All things were made by him." All things were made by him. The lesson tonight is called God, the Creator of our emotions. God, the Creator of our emotions. And let's pray. Father, I want to help, not hurt. I'm sure that all of us would like some help fine-tuning our emotions, some more than others. I pray that we'll be faithful and we'll be here to learn and to grow. Now, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would control what's said. I pray that your Holy Spirit would control what is heard. And God, might we get a grasp on the scriptural teaching about this thing of our emotions, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can have a seat there. If you were listening in John 1:3, it said, "All things were made by him." And again, the title, God, the Creator of our emotions. The sermon will be extremely simple. It'll be line upon line, precept upon precept. It will be a building thing. And the end of where we're going is as simple as the beginning. And then through the weeks, as we teach more, we'll add to it. And so, let me tell you, emotions, they get a pretty bad rap in our day and age. In other words, they're talked of and often very negatively. Emotions are not bad. Emotions are of God. Emotions, though, can be misused like anything else or not handled properly. Something that's good, that's not handled in a good way, obviously then can be used to be hurtful or harmful. But if something God creates is misused by man, it doesn't make it bad. Men too often, though, God will create something or make something or do something. And man has a way because we're corrupt, we're sinful, we have a way of taking it and messing it up. And we have a way of using what God gave us, but misusing it. But remember, emotions are not bad. They were intended to be used for good. Now, let me start out, and we'll start at a very simple point. I think anybody could teach what I'm going to teach tonight, but I want you to listen to it because I want to lay a foundation for the next dozen weeks or so when we talk about this subject. Number one, God created all things. God created all things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17 says this: "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The word "all things" there, that means the whole of everything, the entire existence, the complete thing. So when God says all things were created by him, it means everything. He breaks it down in case we didn't understand the word "all things." God sure makes it simple. He mentions in that passage of scripture, in heaven. Now you understand, we sometimes think that all that God created was that which we see down here, but oh my, he created things you have no imagination of. He created everything in heaven. And so you understand, the Bible mentions heavens, plural. There is the place where God lives, but that means all of it. Everything, the heaven or the heavens. Then it said in earth, and it means in the earth or on the earth. And again, you understand they are constantly still finding things in the earth. And God created all that and everything that's on the earth. Then he said, just to clarify, the all things in that scripture, he says visible. That means everything that you can see. But wait a minute, not just what you can see, but everything that can be seen. And I can't see everything, and you can't see everything, and somebody else around the world, they can't see everything. There are men that went to space that have seen things that we've never seen, and that's all included. He said, everything that's visible, everything you can see. And then he said, just in case you were wondering, not only everything that's visible, but everything that's invisible. He said, there's more that's invisible than visible. Obviously, there's that that's in the earth, and there's that that is beyond our sight. But it's the things that we can see, the things that we cannot see. It's the heaven, it's the earth. Then he said, the thrones. Now, when he talks about thrones, he's talking about the kingdoms or the empires. Those units, if you will, of government that become strong. He is the one that made thrones. In the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, says he sets kings up and he can take kings down. Then he uses the word dominions. So God is talking about everything he created. Now he started out and he said all things. But you know how people are. You could say all things and then they say, well, does that mean? So God goes ahead, understanding the human race, their inquiry, if you will, and he said, let me break it down for you. And that's what he's doing. Dominions, that's the process of dominion. Governments. Then he said principalities. Now, if you want to understand the word principalities, it really would be an area in its origin. It was an area that was ruled by a prince. So there was a prince that ruled an area. Now, there's a difference in a prince and a king. A prince would have ruled an area like a state. A king would have ruled, he had a domain that might have been made up of many states, if you will, like a president. But he said principalities, and in other words, he was saying the small governed areas as well as the big governed areas. Then he finishes up and he talks about powers. Now, what are we talking about? God said, I created it all. I started this thing. When he talks about powers, he's talking about capabilities. He's talking about command, strengths, influences, systems of strength. But God said, I created it all. And you say, but Pastor, that is so simple. We all know that. I can tell you this society is full of people that don't know that, that don't believe that. But God created all things. Number two, what God created was good. It was good. In Genesis 1:31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In other words, that list that he gave us in Colossians 1:16-17, all things, heaven, earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, it's good. All things that God created were good. The heavens were good. The earth was good. The visible things were good. The invisible things were good. The thrones were good. The dominions were good. The principalities were good. The powers were good. God has never created anything that was bad. But has man taken good things God created and damaged them? Sure. Has man taken good things of God and misused them? Sure. But what God created, he did good. So, number one, God created all things. Number two, what God created was good. Number three, God created man. Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So number three, God created man. Let me make it very clear. According to the never dying, eternal, perfect, flawless word of God, you did not evolve from a baboon or a monkey. Now some people smell like it. But you did not evolve. You did not. I'm a little bit amazed that in our secular education system, they are for teaching theories, but they won't even teach creationism as a theory. Looks a little slanted to me. Looks like there might be somebody behind that mess.
Yes, sir.
And there sure is. We know the Bible says God created man. But again, in our lost society, they don't accept that. You know, there are different theories about the creation of man and the creation of everything, of course. According to Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17, everything that was created by God. But there are different theories or philosophies. There is the electric spark theory about creation. What they say, there was a spark that ignited it all, the atoms and neutrons. But where did they get the spark? Well, they haven't figured that out yet. There is a theory that is the alien theory. Aliens planted the human race on the earth. I have seen politicians that would make me believe they may have come from another planet. There is the Big Bang theory. There is the deep sea theory. That there was some sort of an amoeba that was in the sea and it struggled out of the water onto the sand and it it popped out arms and legs. It waddled up. It grew eyes and ears and nose, and now today it's a human being. The deep sea theory. There's the ice creation theory. Now, I can tell you this. I've seen a few refrigerators and ice trays that I know something was growing in there. But there's the ice creation theory. And then there's the true theory. Or the truth. Now, that is God created man and everything else. I think man is one of the most incredible creations of God. And then I realize sometimes sickness and harm comes to the human body. And sometimes damage is not reversible. But I would tell you this, all of us, you've watched people heal. And those of you that have watched the birth of a child, what a miraculous thing. But God created man. So, number one, God created all things. Number two, what God created was good. Number three, included in that creation, God created man and mankind. Number four, God created man in His own image. In His own image. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." Notice He repeats Himself in that same scripture. He says twice, "In His own image, in the image of God." The truth is, our God should never have to repeat Himself at all. But I think He knows the doubt, the ignorance, and lack of faith of man, so He repeats Himself. But just so you know, if God said it once, that's enough. God said when He created man, He created man in His image. He said, "I created men, I created women, and they are in My image." Genesis 1:26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now let me explain to you a little bit of that so you'll understand. When God said, "I created man in My image," our God is a triune God. There's a word that's used a lot. It's called the Trinity. At the beginning of the word Trinity, there's a prefix, tri, T-R-I. That is, it's defined as three. Our God is a three-part God. He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But He's one God. It's a little bit like an egg. That's the easiest illustration. There's a shell, there's a white, there's a yolk. It's one egg, but there are three parts. Our God is a three-part God, but He's one God. Now, God said, "I'll create man in My image." Every man created has a body, a soul, and a spirit. You are a three-part being. God is a three-part God. You were created in the image, in the likeness of God. So, He created us. Let me remind you. I said, number one, He created all things. Number two, everything he created was good. Number three, God created man. Number four, God created mankind in his image. Number five, God created man to glorify him. To glorify him. God created man so man would glorify God. Now, one reason why is if you look in Genesis where God is speaking of creating man, God said, "Let us make man in our image." Us and our. God was not by himself when he decided to create man. You say, well, who was there? Well, it was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God sure liked Jesus because Jesus glorified the Father and Jesus loved the Father. And God said, you know what? If I created man in our image, there would be others then that could glorify the Father like the Spirit would and like the Son would. That makes sense. Just so you know, I just told you why you were created. You were created to glorify God. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things." Right? We already know that. "And for thy pleasure they are and were created." Man was created for God's pleasure. Now see, some people think that man was created to be cut loose down here so man enjoys man. Man was created so God could enjoy man. Listen to this. Isaiah 43:7 says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." Man was created for God's glory. Now let me clarify the obvious. Man was created for God. Man was not created for man. Man was not created to glorify himself. Man was not created to glorify other men. Man was to bring honor and praise and glory to his Creator. And that is to be our ultimate purpose. That does not mean that a man could not be good to a man. It doesn't mean that a man could not love man. But God said, "I deserve to be at the top of your list because I decided to make you. And because I made you, I had the right to determine your purpose. And your purpose is to glorify me." Let me go on. Number six, God has emotions. God has emotions. The most famous, most popular verse in the entire world is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world." He so loved the world. What is that? It is the emotion of love. God has emotions. For instance, Proverbs 6:16 says, "These six things doth the Lord hate." That's the emotion of hate. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, it says, "But when he saw the multitude," this is about Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is a part of that triune God. He's a part of the Godhead. He was God come in the flesh. And listen to what it says in Matthew 9, 36. "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them." The emotion of compassion. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 23, it says this, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Joy. That's an emotion. God has the emotion of joy. God has the emotion of compassion. God has the emotion of hate. God has the emotion of love. According to the scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse number 10, it says, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him." God has the emotion of anger. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 5 says, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." That's an emotion. God has the emotion of jealousy. He has the emotion of love. He has the emotion of hate. He has the emotion of compassion. He has the emotion of joy. He has the emotion of anger. He has the emotion of jealousy. Then it says in Matthew 18:33, "Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee?" We won't define it, but pity is an emotion. Then, let's see the emotion stirred a little here. John chapter 11, verse 33, 34, and 35, it says this, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, 'Where have you laid him?' They said unto him, 'Lord, come and see.' And Jesus wept." He groaned, was troubled, and wept. This is at the death of Lazarus. But you see the emotion of God. I said this earlier. Emotions can get a bad rap. God has emotions. Let's go on. Number 7. God's emotions are holy. God's emotions are holy. God's emotions are perfect. So number 7, God's emotions are holy and God's emotions are perfect. Let me read you some scripture. Matthew 5:48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now, here it tells us he's perfect. Now, that doesn't just mean he has perfect power or perfect omniscience. He has perfect emotion. Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 2 says this, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I the Lord your God am holy." Okay? We found out in Matthew 5:48 he's perfect. Now he uses a different word to describe himself. He is holy. Now that word's not used a whole lot today, but it's still in the Bible. And holiness is still what our God is and what he wants of us. So he's a perfect God. He's a holy God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 22 says, "Who," in reference to Jesus Christ, "who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Okay, now we find out he's sinless. This is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, part of the triune God, the one that came down from heaven to be on earth, to be our Savior. He was sinless. So he's perfect, he's holy, he's sinless. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 5 puts it a different way. It says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." So we find out, in him is no darkness. You know, when we get to heaven, you'll not need a flashlight. We won't have need of flashlights or light bulbs in heaven. You say, well, where will we get our light? Jesus is the light of heaven. He will shine in heaven. There is no darkness in him. So he's perfect. He's holy, he's sinless, and there's no darkness. And remember, this is point number 7 in our outline. God's emotions are holy and perfect. You see, everything about God is perfect. Everything about God is holy. And the Bible teaches us that we have some of the same emotions that God has. But his emotions are perfect. His emotions are holy. His emotions are sinless. His emotions, there is no darkness in his emotions. Just like everything about him, his emotions are holy, pure, perfect, and right. Let me go on. Number 8. God created man's emotions. So God created man. And with man, it was a package deal. Man got emotions. Isaiah chapter 42, verse number 5 says, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein." It's talking about God created man. He breathed into man the breath of life. God, we know he's the creator, but I'm just reminding us, if I may, that when God created man, God created man's emotion. Just as man was physically created by God, so was man's emotions created by God. Remember, God created all things. All parts of man were created by God. God created your body, God created your soul, and God created your spirit. And wherever this thing that we call emotions falls into it, God created that. Number 9. God created man's emotions in his image. And I told you, anybody could teach this. I know it's kindergarten, but if you're listening, I'm laying a platform. I want you to understand this thing of our emotions. God created man's emotions in God's image, in His image. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14 says this, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." God created you. Did you know God loves, and He has given us the ability to love? Why? We are created in God's image. And so, God has the emotion of love. And we're created in His image. And because God can love, God gave us the ability to love because we're created in His likeness. God hates. And He has given man the ability to hate. God can be jealous. And God has given man the ability to be jealous. Did you know that jealousy in its purest form is a wonderful thing? In its purest form. God has joy. And He has given man the ability to have joy. Why? We are created in His image. We are created in His likeness. God has anger. And He's given man the ability to have anger. God has compassion. And He's given man the ability to have compassion. And I'm almost finished. But let me remind you what I said. He created all things. What He created was good. He created man. He created man in His image. He created man to glorify Him. God has emotions. More than I've listed. Love, hate, compassion, joy, anger, jealousy, pity. He wept. He groaned. He was troubled within His spirit. Number 7. God's emotions are holy and perfect. Number 8, God created man's emotions. Number 9, God created man's emotions in His image. And number 10, and my last point, man's emotions were created to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now, you don't have to be a Greek, Hebrew scholar. You do not have to be able to exegete the Old Testament scripture to understand that verse. Let me read it again. "Whether therefore you eat or drink," he makes it so simple. Y'all understand eating and drinking? "Or whatsoever you do," that's one of those all-inclusive alls. "Whatsoever you do," and he says it again, "do all to the glory of God." Amen. My body should glorify God. And my emotions were created to glorify God. That's why they were created. Did God create your emotions to do anything other than? Obviously, He created all things for who? For Himself. Why? For His pleasure. And what was creation to do? Glorify God. And the very simple point for this very simple sermon is this: your emotions are to glorify God. So regarding your emotions, let me ask you this. Have your emotions today glorified God? That's why they were given to you. You say, "No, well, it's really all about me, how I feel, what I want, what's happening to me." I'm very sorry to bring this to your attention. It's not all about you. It's all about Him.